bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. As we've been saying all morning, all evening, all afternoon, and all night, today is hump day. Whew, we're going to try to make it today. I thought everything was fine, had everything revved up, ready to go. By the way, this afternoon and after the top five at five, I got some more questions for you all. It's going to be like an open line again. I got questions, but you got to call 833-212-1017 so you can hold on for a question. Then I'm going to give you a question. I guess we can try to answer it together, but I prefer you do that. I'm just saying. I prefer that you deal with some of the things that are going on in this fair city we call Milwaukee. I mean, the way things are just going down, it's just going to continue to go down. I looked at a story, WISN.com, written by Emily Pofall, reporter. Milwaukee Public Schools is working to address a $46 million deficit with a proposed $1.6 billion budget for the next fiscal year, addressed by a board committee on yesterday. Sounds harmless enough. Superintendent Brenda Casalius has made sweeping changes to manage the district's financial challenges, which include rising inflation, stagnant state aid, and declining enrollment. You can't fight inflation. State aid can't get higher because you don't have enough kids. But anyway, I digress. It hasn't gone over easily with the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, which protested 200-plus staff cuts or members of the public. We're trying to build a plane and fly it at the same time. Angela Harris, an MPS teacher. That is what leaders do. Like, how did that not click? What, you got to build it and then fly it? It'll cost too much. We've seen that happen. That's why we're in the mess we're in today. Well, an MPS parent, Amanda Seppinen, said, "We are dismantling our school communities." In what way? You have less students. You have less people. You need less teachers. You need less paraprofessionals. You need less principals. The proposed cut includes 150 teachers and 138 paraprofessionals and cost of living raises for employees. It also includes cuts to administrative positions and assistant principals. Caselli has told the NPS Committee on Strategic Planning and Budgeting on Tuesday, for the next 2 years, we're in a very tight position. The district is also preparing for the expiration of a $242 million referendum passed by Milwaukee voters, to which we were lied to by the last superintendent, which will run out in 2028. I added that. Rising costs are adding to the financial strain, with NPS spending an additional $20 million on benefits this year and anticipating $500,000 in fuel costs for April and May. And everyone feels it in their gas tank, and I know what that's like, particularly diesel buses. Long term, the district is relying on additional state aid to avoid a grim financial outlook. She warned that NPS could face a $400 million deficit within 5 years. Now, efforts to secure state funding have faced setbacks. Bipartisan bill that would have provided millions of dollars to districts statewide was voted down last week, after opposition from Senate Democrats and some Senate Republicans, both of which are stupid. So now you've shot yourself in the foot. What does this mean for NPS? What does this mean for this system that everybody says they love to fight for, but you only fight when it comes to money? You never fight when it comes to education. You never fight when the scores are low. You never fight when it's a teacher that needs to be fired. You never fight when it matters. You only equate children to money in a teacher's pocket. I wanted you to hear that number so that you understand exactly what you're up to. The district is also preparing for the expiration of a $242 million referendum passed by Milwaukee voters when we got lied to by the last superintendent, which will run out in 2028. And then rising costs are adding to the financial strain, with an additional $20 million this year in benefits and another $500,000 just on fuel costs in April and May. But never fear, because in 5 years, or within that time, $400 million deficit. What do you think happens? Well, let's do the numbers. People always cry and complain about numbers, right? So let's look at the numbers. Let's see exactly how much this is going to cost. Well, let's see. 400 divided by, see if I can get that far. Wow. Okay. It's not that bad of a hit. But if you can divide $400,000 into $1.6 billion, that's a lot of money. The problem is it's a pretty high percentage. So you're talking devastation. I wonder how long Brenda Caselius's contract is. I wonder, will it run out right before the 4 years? I'm just saying. What are they trying to tell you? Well, number one, the district's final budget vote is set for May 28th. So you should be there. Today is May 20th. You have 8 days to figure out what it is you should do. Number two, find out who your representative is on the Milwaukee Board of School Directors, or whatever they call it, some nonsense name, and call them and tell them, this is what I want you to do. If that man or woman doesn't do what you tell them to do, then promptly start a campaign to make them lose their seat. At this point, someone is either going to come take over NPS, or NPS will be no more. Mark my words. This has become an inflection point. If you listen to the teachers' union and kowtow to what they want and break the school, you will go the way of those that used to run printing presses for newspapers. The union swore to the bitter end they'll never get rid of you. And by the time they got to the end, they were gone. I still remember the last printer, the last union worker at Tribune Tower in Chicago that turned off the press for the last time, right before it became automated. That's where education's going. It won't be automated. They'll just do it with less people. If you keep not coming to the table and working with public schools, you don't have to worry about being public school only. You won't have to worry about ever being public school only. She told you, within 5 years, you have a $400 million deficit. No worries. In the near future, the words you may never hear again. Dear MPS parent.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017. I keep tying up my headphone. Keep putting a knot in it. Drives me crazy. And it always looks like a knot, but then when I look at it, there's no knot. So I give up. Maybe I'm hallucinating. That's it. That's what I'm doing. 833-212-1017 is the number. So before the break, in my open, I was talking about MPS. You know, at the rate we're going, we're not going to have to bother with Milwaukee Public Schools. Black parents, white parents, Hispanic parents, Asian parents, no parents will have to worry about it, because at this rate, there won't be one. Either the state's going to take it over, the county's going to take it. You should have let Tom Barrett take it over when he was going to do it. But you cried and you moaned, oh, state legislature, please don't do that. Now look at the state we're in. Now I say we because I'm a taxpayer. And I pay taxes. And parts of my taxes go to a school system that my children didn't go to, but I still had to pay. That's why I don't have a problem with school choice and all those things. The people that are MPS only. That's too bad. I'm pretty sure you sent your children to the best public school you could. That's why some people went to suburban and where they thought were the best. And then they got to lie and say that I support public schools. You just didn't send them to those. But you should send your kids there. Well, that makes you a hypocrite. But Milwaukee has lived with that forever. Being lied to by teachers, lied to by politicians, who then send their children to other public schools because they have the money, they have the car, they have the ability to send their children somewhere that you can't. You have a state superintendent who literally said on my show, she sent her kids when the school got bad to a Catholic school. But black, white, Hispanic, and Asian people who make under a certain amount of money should not be able to do that. They should have to send their kids to a failing school because it's public, and therefore the union members get to keep money, and we'll just run it into the ground until it dies. And then the union will say, oh, too bad, it was their fault. It makes no sense, but yet we continue to do this. So my question to you is, if MPS fails, where do black kids go? If MPS fails, right now in the next 5 years, they could look at a $400 million deficit. We were crying about 46. A tad over 46 million, and we lost our head. Think about that. 400 million over 5 years. What do you do? Where will black children go? 833-212-1017. Take a picture. It's today. In the future. Right? 8 years. Where's your kid? Your kids are four now. Now your kid's 12. 8 years from now. Where'd it go? Is MPS there? Is MPS gone? Have we evolved into recognizing that education is education? Or are we giving parents a choice? You do understand, word has it, you know, conspiracy theories and all that. Easiest way to control your children is send them to school. Now, some of the Republicans talk kind of, you know, nonsensical. I heard Senator Ron Johnson, he was saying some nonsense. No, it wasn't that he was saying nonsensical things. It's that he was piecing together nonsensical things, trying to make it one thing. And it just didn't make any sense. Like, I was like, dude, like you really can't believe that. But I heard him, this and this, and he was using instances that were anecdotal and putting them together and saying, see, that's why. So somebody did something one time, right? Like one group of people get welfare, therefore all people get welfare. It's like some of the things they believe just make no sense, but it's like a talking point. But we thought indoctrination in schools was going to happen in high school, and then we thought it was going to happen in, you know, college, and then we thought, and now it's trickled all the way down to what book can be in the library for our kindergarten. And I don't understand that. But when the school tells the mother that a mother or a father don't have a right to correct their child or tell you what they want their child to do and not to do, that's a problem. I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, progressive, communist, socialist, what's left? I don't know. I don't care what you are. At some point, the parent should be in control of what happens to their child. You may know how to educate my child, but you don't know what to educate my child with. And that's what a parent is for. Well, we won't have to have that problem because in about 8 years, I don't think MPS will be there. Now, granted, your tax money will, but I don't think MPS will be there. Why is that? Because we're crying about $46 million. Can you imagine what they would cry about if it turned into $400? They would lose their mind. The YouTube talking text says, back to home show with them tablets with failed PWKs letting stream instead of learning. Ah, here it is. Sincere said, back to home show with them tablets with failed PWKs letting stream instead of learning. I got it, homeschool. Is homeschool going to work when the parents themselves don't know what they're doing? Now, you need education. Don't get it twisted. Public school is a definite need, and it is a powerful tool for any kid, no matter where they're from, if they're able to learn. The problem is we make too many assumptions about what they learn. I think they're learning some things that they have no business learning while they're not learning other things. They're not learning reading, writing, and arithmetic. they're also not learning. What was it? They they're not learning DEI stuff. They're not learning, like, where's this nonsense coming from? And then the right sounds so idiotic when they say it because it doesn't make any sense. If that were the case, you would literally not have anybody voting Republican or independent or anything. This makes no sense. They're indoctrinating our children. Then get your kids out of school. Or are you too cheap that you want to keep your kids in the public school and not pay for it? Because it sounds like that's what it is. But that's okay. I say all this to say that at some point, we have to put the money into public schools the proper way, not just pile money into a teacher's pocket. Because with all due respect, putting money in a teacher's pocket is not putting money in the classroom. That's putting money in a teacher's pocket. Should teachers be paid more? Absolutely. But they can only make what the market will bear. If you didn't make enough money, you shouldn't have took the job. That's what I say. Too bad. Can't complain about how much money police officers make if I actually took a job, signed on the dotted line, and here I am. I can't. Well, we don't make enough money. Then you shouldn't have taken the job. Should have stayed at home. Now, granted, you only work 10 hours out the year. I mean, 10 months out the year. Come on. Calm down, Felix. Talking to the YouTube chat. At some point, we have to realize and understand that in the end, it's going to take a concerted effort to get rid of elected officials, school board officials, city government officials to get what you want. They are not going to listen until the spigot runs dry. That means their salary. If you do it again, we're going to come after you. And we're going to move to get rid of you every single day. Like, that's there's nothing left to do. On the talking text line, Todd said, hey, Dr. Ken, most school districts have big redundancy. I think that is the main problem. Teachers were smart in the 70s. They went after the benefits. Now it's very difficult to reverse course. It wasn't the teachers. It was the union, right? They followed their union. So, yeah, I blame teachers maybe like 5% because they voted on it. But different districts have redone. I've never been to a place that had, like, maybe I grew up and I was, awestruck or something. Just growing up in Chicago. The number of school districts we have in the United States of America is idiotic. You could bring NPS up into like 4 or 5 different districts. We all know, watch this, you ready? In law enforcement, in order to control crime, they learned decades ago, the smaller the district, the better control they can have on crime. To a point. All things being equal, education level, socioeconomic pattern, joblessness, stuff like that. You can control for that. Now, that's all gone because the values have changed. So most school districts have great redundancy. It's sort of like hiring, right? The hiring in Brown Deer School District and the hiring in Milwaukee Public Schools and the hiring in Greendale and Glendale has got to be the same because you got to pass all the information that DPI says you have to have in order to be a certified teacher in Wisconsin, right? Yeah. So why isn't one person doing that? One group. That's a whole section and a whole thing that's gone out of every single school district. You could probably save $400 million just like that. But we don't do that. Redundancy. I get it. What redundancies at your job would literally put you out of your job? Oh, I got one. No, I'm just kidding. But at some point, we have to wake up to the fact. We have to wake up to the fact that at some point, we have to make a change. And I was remiss. Hey, Quanda, what's going on? The Tender Town Study Halls here. What's going on? I slid past you this morning because I saw Ron Sincere up in here. So, you know, I gave him his black car back yesterday, so he should be happy. Mal got his back. Everybody got their car back, so everything should be good. So this school thing just has me worried. $400 million. Now, granted, I don't have to worry. I don't have kids in school. I don't have grandkids in school. So I don't have to worry. But you do. But you do. What are your thoughts? 833-212-1017 is the number. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. When we come back, well, I just left black teachers. Well, may as well look at former politicians.
More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. We were talking about teachers and unions and what we're going to do if MPS implodes and disappears and goes by the wayside, and public school choice versus public school. It's not versus. It's also and. Charter, also and. 77 said Memphis is ranked as the fifth worst school district in the country. Where's Milwaukee ranked? Where's Milwaukee ranked? Where's the worst school district in, like, Mississippi or something? I wonder where the worst school district. Well, it's only one way to find out. Why am I sitting here when I got technology sitting in front of me? Where is the worst school district in the United States of America? Oh, look at this. It's telling me I got to unlock my phone in order to. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So now when I ask it, it'll ask ChatGPT and Siri. But that way I'll know exactly where is the worst, I mean, the worst school district in America. Because we got to do something about it. So now I got to ask it again. Where is the worst school district in the United States of America? Yep. People waving outside at the avenue. Because if Memphis is number five, I wonder, there is no single official worst school district. Several districts in the region are repeatedly identified in national reports as among the lowest performing. Clark County, which is, I don't know where that is. Houston, Baltimore, Cleveland, Detroit. Really doesn't tell me anything. ChatGPT didn't do their job that time. Anyway. Somebody said Detroit. Let me just ask. Worst performing school district. Where's this from? What's the source? Let me check the source first. Okay, what's this rough maps? I don't even know what this is. See, here's a problem when you look for stuff. It gives you sources, but you can't tell if the source is legitimate or not or just fake. So, yeah, we're going to delete that for the second. So I came across this story. And so we think we got trouble with MPS, but we got trouble with black politicians, too. Or should I say ex-politicians? I don't know if you heard the story. This from JS Online. Already facing two separate felony charges, former Milwaukee City Attorney Tierman Spencer has been charged with violating the conditions of his bail weeks before a trial is set. In a complaint filed yesterday, Spencer attempted to phone an unnamed prosecutor earlier this month who had been tapped to testify as a witness in his upcoming case, violating a no-contact order previously issued by a Milwaukee County judge. In a voicemail, Spencer offered the attorney a potential estate case involving a property. The complaint says, at worst, it's a veiled bribe. Spencer's phone was seized after investigators through a search warrant following his final pretrial conference at Waukesha County Courthouse. Spencer was initially resistive, but eventually offered his phone up after investigator ordered Spencer to turn around and place his hands behind his back so he could be taken into custody. If convicted of bail jumping, Spencer faces a maximum penalty of $10,000 in fines and 6 years in prison or both. So here's what has me going. Spencer's phone was seized by investigators through a search warrant following his final pretrial conference at the Waukesha County Courthouse. Spencer was initially resistive, but eventually offered up his phone after the investigator ordered Spencer to turn around and place his hands behind his back so that he could be taken into custody. What were you arresting him for? Were you arresting him for resisting or obstructing a search warrant? Like, I don't understand. What were you arresting him for? Because if I'm not mistaken, it's against the law to arrest somebody just so you could use that arrest, however weak, to get access to evidence or property. Last time I checked, I've been out the game a bit. Might be wrong. So if I think you have something in your car, and I want to get in your car, I wait till you drive, pull you over. Now, I just have to write you a ticket, but the rules by the police department, I'm just making it up as I go along. Not the rules part, but the department. Rules may say, or U.S. Supreme Court says, once I write you the ticket, it's a temporary seizure, and I let you go. I don't have anything else to hold you on. I don't have anything else to do. But if I come up with something or figure out, hey, wait a minute, I can arrest him for this and add something to it just so I can take you into custody so I can say, now your car is prisoner property and now I got to search your car, that's a problem. Because now you only arrested me for that where normally you wouldn't arrest somebody for, or you made this what we call a summary arrest where you took me into custody for traffic, which is you really shouldn't be able to do unless you get a supervisor's permission, but, you know, weirder things have happened. You can't do that. You can't arrest somebody because of something you think. So I wonder what he was arresting him for. I know with a search warrant, if you obstruct, you can get arrested, but you were only arresting him to get the article. Okay. I'm pretty sure it's legal, but it just sounds weird. So you threaten, like that alone should make you go, who? You threaten to arrest somebody if they didn't give you their phone and a search warrant? Wow. Interesting. And so my question is, why are they going after Spencer? Like, dude is no longer the city attorney. This is what happens. Watch this. This is what happens when people that you deem to be your friends come in, get you an office, or better yet, you got an office without their help. So now they got to get rid of you because they can't control you. But that's what happens. That's what happens. And I'm gonna say this because people scream and holler, but what the hey? They scream and holler anyway. That is what happens in Milwaukee because you get taken advantage of. You think people are here to save you and they're not. You think people are going to give you this thing, and they're not. They're here to take advantage of you. And then when you don't play games, the same people pop in and, oh, I'll take that elected position because that person is bad and I'm good. And you watch them hop from position to position to position to position. And they'll eventually run for governor and be like, look what all I've done. I don't understand. And that's a Milwaukee thing. That's just a weird Milwaukee thing. Y'all let people do stuff that you shouldn't let do. You get schnookered, hoodwinked, bamboozled, and then, of course, just straight up robbed. 833-212-1017 is the number. When we come back, sports and voting. I never thought those two things would go together, but hey, that and your calls, 833-212-1017 is the number. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon.
It's Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. There's a story on The Griot that kind of struck me as let me try to put this together. Congressional Black Caucus enraged by the Supreme Court's gutting of the Voting Rights Act and subsequent Southern states' elimination of Black representation. Join the NAACP's call, listen to this, to boycott athletic programs at public universities, demanding that institutions that remain silent in the face of attacks on Black political power speak up or suffer economic consequences. So help me with something. Help me with something. All those players that play for public schools because they can't afford to go to a private school should get jacked. Because your tax dollars that pay you, can somebody connect those dots for me? 833-212-1017. I don't understand. Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat of New York, says unprecedented moment featuring an unprecedented attack on Black political representation. That is true. And therefore, it requires an unprecedented response. I get it. But what about all the Black players that play football and basketball and baseball and... He joined dozens of CBC members yesterday on Capitol Hill to sign the NAACP's boycott, which calls on Black athletes and fans to divest their dollars from public state universities within the NCAA Southeastern Conference. So that means that if I go to a state school that gave me money to go to school, I should walk away? I don't understand what that is. They also urge incoming college athletes not to attend any university in a southern state that has not publicly condemned the wave of racially gerrymandering congressional maps that carve out majority Black districts to obtain political advantages for the Republican Party in November midterms. Jeffrey slammed southern states, of course, and rightfully so, Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, unleashed Jim Crow-like racially oppressed tactics. Unacceptable, unconscionable, and un-American. I agree. We believe that the silence of these institutions, this is what I'm having trouble with, is complicity. And we will not stand for it, said the New York leader who was poised to become the first African-American U.S. House Speaker should Democrats win the majority in November by overcoming the gerrymandering battled waged by President Donald Trump and the Republicans. They unanimously opposed supporting the SCORE Act, which would regulate name, image, and likeness compensation for universities and students, given the Black voting rights issue. You know, a lot of those are Black players, but I'm just putting it out there. I understand it, but Clark, CBC chairwoman, Representative Yvette Clark, said black political representation is not a side issue. This is not politics as usual. This is defining moral, a defining moral moment for our country. The Congressional Black Caucus cannot support legislation benefiting major athletic institutions that continue to remain silent while black voting rights and black political power are systemically dismantled across the South. So you're telling somebody that you don't have the freedom to not speak on a topic that you must speak up on it. What if they disagree with you? Then what? Your argument is not that they support it, but you're asking them that they don't remain silent. So what does that mean? They have to speak what you say they should speak? They have to say what you say they have to say, and then all of a sudden it's okay? Or do they have a right to speak up and say, kick rocks? I'm just asking. Just trying to be in the middle. Ben, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
I need you to help frame this. Okay, this edict came out from Hakeem Jeffries in response to what's the question?
It came out from the Congressional Black Caucus, the chairwoman, U.S. Representative Yvette Clark, Democrat from New York.
Okay. And is the goal here to somehow use the athletes' influence to try and affect some sort of change?
The Congressional Black Caucus cannot support legislation benefiting major athletic institutions that continue to remain silent while black voting rights and black political power are being systemically dismantled in the South.
I kind of get it, but you're right. If you don't know what the answer, if you don't know what the statement will be, it may backfire on you.
Right.
That's a risky position to take. You don't know what the other party is going to say. If you don't give them talking points that they're going to agree to, what if they say something counter?
NAACP President Derek Johnson spoke to reporters, said, today is important not only for these young athletes to stand up, but the parents of those athletes understand what impact they could have. Those parents also must understand that the denial of representation is also a form of exploitation. But what if they stand up and say, hey, I'm okay. Like, I need that because I want to go to school. I want to be the first black person to go to school, and I got a scholarship, so I'm going to the school. Like, then what?
Are we talking scholarships in terms of like non-athletic scholarships? Or are we talking about guys who generate revenue? Because if I'm a Southeastern Conference football player,
right,
and they're paying me to play football,
right,
I don't know if they would necessarily buy into that.
Well, that's why they don't support the SCORE Act, because they don't want money. They don't want them to be so emboldened that they don't really care what the politician says, because I don't have to care whether I go pro, because I can play 5 years in college and get paid and go about my business.
It gets messy. I kind of get what they – I think I get the spirit of what
they think
they want to accomplish.
I do.
But I think it's a crapshoot. And quite honestly, you know, if they're paying me to be a – if I'm not good enough to be a professional football player, but I can make – couple million dollars
right. Hanging
around in college.
Right.
You know, I don't know how many people would do that. Even though it's the noble thing, is it the practical thing for someone who might be their athleticism is their way of trying to position themselves. If I'm not a football player, and I'm not a coach, right. What am I?
Well, but over the next 4 years, 5 years, you get to make about $2.5 million. Or you can try to go pro and see if you can make $50 million.
True, but most guys aren't going to do that. There's this whole move with this whole NIL thing and the fact that you can transfer every year.
Right.
If you know you're not quite guaranteed to be a pro pick, but you know you can play at the college level for 4 or 5 years, you can make a good living.
And the coaches are just mad because they don't get to put players into slavery and trade them like little, you know, and control them and tell them what to wear and where to go. Now they have control over their own life, and now they don't like it. They're reacting the same way whites did when black people got out of slavery.
I kind of get it, but it's if you didn't have this deal where the college, where the college player can basically be a mercenary year after year after year, it's hard to see how that gets any traction.
Right.
You'd almost be better off having professional athletes say, "We're not playing." That would make it. That would have more of an impact.
Yep.
Because if I'm a professional player, I already got my money, right?
Right.
And I just decide, you know what? We're not playing. Something would potentially be done because it's not easy to replace a professional football player.
Look, Colin Kaepernick did it. He still had to play. If Colin Kaepernick was in college, we would never know what his name is today because they would have got rid of him so fast.
Okay, but the other side of it, if Patrick Mahomes said, "I'm not playing."
Right. That would mean something.
Or Tom Brady.
Yep.
"I'm not playing."
Yep.
That would make a huge difference.
Yep. Yep.
It's a good idea, but it's at the wrong level.
Yes, it is. All right, well, thank you, Ben. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, take care. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. I got calls. I got talking texts. Mellicent is holding on. We'll get to you. Top 5 at 5 and phone calls up next.